Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. And if you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Start off this morning by talking about the events that happened in Las Vegas on Sunday evening, the massacre that took place at the Route 91 country music concert. It's a horrific act, a cowardly act taken on by a despicable homicidal psychopath. Our prayers and Our thoughts go out to our friends in Las Vegas and Southern Nevada. It's beyond comprehension to murder over 50 people and send over 500 people to the hospital by either shooting them or the acts that followed by people trying to escape the mayhem that went on. So. Let's take a few seconds here, and let's take a moment of silence, okay, and think about these folks. Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to item number three. This is discussion and possible action. We're going to approve the agenda for October the 3rd, 2017. Do we have any changes or additions or corrections to make to today's agenda?
We have one change, Mr. Chairman, and then also one comment. I'll make the comment first. It does not require a change or an amendment. There may be in anyone's packet, including those who looked online, a tabular issue that arose when we inserted an amended agenda item that I had forgotten I had approved placement on and forgot going through the process. So if item 19 is in tab 18 or something, I apologize for that. The other change, again, occurring because of the amended agenda, for some reason our system managed to cut and paste oddly on the second readings of the business licenses. So those listed on the agenda are scrambled, so to speak. The names, like, for instance, in item F on the agenda, Staffing Solutions, Madoli. That should be Staffing Solutions, and then G should be Madoli Construction. Your packet correctly reflects the names as they will be recommended to approve, and these are also identical names as appeared correctly on the last meeting for first reading. So I'd ask that they be amended to reflect those names that are in the packet.
Okay. Is that all we have then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda items?
I guess there's a correction on the consent agenda. One, Roman numeral 1, dash B, line B, it should be, say Cobb Mansion. That got kind of scrambled up. Cobb Mansion, bed and breakfast.
Item B?
B.
Oh,
D. Victor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Any other public comment regarding today's agenda item? I get a motion to approve it with the corrections noted.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda with the corrections noted. Corrections.
Could I ask one comment, Commissioner McGuffey?
Will the question mark become an answer?
Good to go?
Good to go.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda for October the 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item 4, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for August the 15th, 2017. Take any public comment regarding the agenda. Excuse me for the minutes. No comments regarding the minutes of August 15th. Hearing none, if I can get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve minutes for August 15th, 2017.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes for August 15th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, can I get a motion for approval?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda, noting the correction to Roman numeral I, line D. It should say Cobb Mansion Bed and Breakfast.
Very good.
I'll second the motion.
Moving a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start with in the right side of the building this morning with Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning. A couple things. Last meeting brought up the motorcycles from the grant on from Washoe County through Homeland Security, and kind of had a few snags on that, but I just got confirmation this morning it is still on, so we'll have it on the agenda for the next meeting, along with the photos that you requested. Street vibrations, of course, is another one's in the history book. Very few incidents. I believe we only had one crash in the county, and it was non-life threatening. Very few incidents over the weekend, so our event went off well. But as we all saw Sunday night with Las Vegas, that can change in a heartbeat. I just ask everybody to be patient. Let them do their work. Lots of speculations. Lots of things being thrown around in the news as far as gun control and mental health, things like that. Let the investigators get to their findings before we start making rash decisions, because things like that can happen anytime you have mass crowds, and there's very little you can do to prevent it other than just be aware of your surroundings. Any questions for me?
Thank you, Sheriff. All right. From our neighbors on the river, representing the Lockwood Park, John Miller, do you have a report today, sir?
John Miller from the Lockwood area. I have the privilege and the honor of being the caretaker, if you would like to say, of Louise Perry Park and also the community garden there. The Christmas tree that was donated last year to us by the Manise brothers is doing fine. It will be decorated this year for Christmas. The kids in the school are making ornaments for it, so they'll have the privilege of decorating it. Park equipment, I will talk to Jason W., and he's going to give me some information about playground equipment. Like I said, I don't know the laws in Nevada, but he says, kind of confirmed the same laws that are in Illinois, that the park equipment has to be put in by a park certified park equipment person. We've had a very good news. A gentleman has donated quite a bit of money to our park, which I'd like to thank him personally for that. And we're going to get that done before the end of the year, that part, and then the rest of it, we'll probably wait until spring to get that. We'll be shutting off the park sprinkler system and also the bathrooms soon. I don't know exactly when. That all depends upon the weather and when it's going to be done. Community garden will be shut down November 1. The water will be taken off. There have been some people that ask if they could possibly plant during the wintertime for winter crops, and I said yes, but you had to bring your own water. So, and community garden is all cleaned up, and I'm going to get some more stuff done down there. It's 34 beds, 31 of them have been used this year. So I'd like to thank everybody that's concerned with this, the commissioners, Pat Whitten, that have worked diligently with me for this park. And by next year, next spring, I hope you'll see a brand new park up there. Thank you.
Thank
Any
you,
questions?
John. You've done a great job, man.
Yeah. I'd like to compliment all your effort and hard work down there, John. The parks never looked better. The gardens are finally up and running like they're supposed to be, and all of your efforts down there. So we appreciate it.
We're also going to try to make some more garden beds up in Winnipeg next year.
Good.
All right.
That's great. Also representing the river folks down there is John's wife, Mary Lee Miller.
Good morning, Commissioner and staff. How are you? We have something quite interesting going on in the Community Building Senior Center. We're having an open house on the 24th at 12:30. Those wishing to have lunch must call Alicia or email her and order your lunch the day before. Lunch there is at 11:45. The party starts at 12:30. I'm going to give you a copy of their email address because in our invitations that we had handmade and distributed, it gives the phone number for the senior center itself, and they're only there from 9 until 12:30 every day. So I'm also going to give you Alicia's email address. I'll give you a copy of it. We're doing something a little bit different with this open house this year. We will be joined by representatives from the LCC, the HOA, WeCare, CERTS, the Northern Division, Food Pantry, CGID, Card Making, Card Games, Bunko, Paul's to Read, Community Garden, and Jewelry Making. Those are, and the lunch program. Those are different things that go on in our community weekly. So those people represent, will be there with a name tag on and what they represent. So you coming from all of your offices up here down to help us celebrate this, will be able to see who is really working on and doing these projects in our area. So that's the difference from the last one we had to this one. We are going to introduce you to the people that work in our area and do specific items for us. Other than that, do you have any questions?
Did you want to mention about the lunch at the landfill?
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, and that's in our area, and you're right, I should mention that. There's nothing more fun than going to, he says lunch in the landfill, I say lunch at the dump. No two ways about it. That's where we're at. Every year, Chris Anderson puts his crew to work. They take the maintenance building that's huge. They clean it out. They steam clean it. They put in tables with tablecloths. They hire BJ's Barbecue to come in and feed us. And we counted this time. It was well over 100 people that showed up for lunch at the dump. This year, he scheduled all of the school children to be there early, to be there by 11, and lunch was at 12:30. To get on the bus, and they took a tour of that facility from one end to the other with just the children and the teachers. Fantastic. But this man goes out of his way every year to make it comfortable for us up there. And the other thing that he does that we just dearly love is once a year he goes down Canyon Way, all the way down the creek there, and picks up all kinds of stuff that people thought that was the road to the dump. And he cleans that up, all of the garbage that's left there and the appliances. Every year he does that. The man is fantastic. We had a wonderful time, and it was great. If you don't go to lunch at the dump, you don't know what you're missing.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee.
Thank you.
All right. BCTC Director, Jenny Dodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for those comments to open up today's meeting. There's millions of Americans, Nevadans, and those of us that are in the tourism and special event business that are truly hurting today. It's a horrendous act. And as I was out yesterday picking up equipment, you know, I was thinking about our town and thousands of people that we have for special events and what could we do if something like that were to happen. And Sheriff Anthony was correct. There's not a lot. When someone that's that evil is determined to do harm on people. And I think all we can do is continue to come together, plan where we can, and keep God first. You know, that's it. But it's a sad day. As we look forward to special events, you have a couple of them that are changing a little bit. Outhouses this year will be closed, the street from Taylor to Union, for the majority of the day, both Saturday and Sunday. That event's grown, so we need to continue to keep the public safe, and having traffic keep coming in and out, it's not the best thing, so it's, we're going to keep it closed for the duration of the event. Then the following weekend, same thing with Red Run. Originally, the promoters, Liquid Blue, was not going to have that event, but growing interest, those that wanted and to have it and participate, the sign-ups as of late have also, due to safety concerns, we figure it would be best to close the street again, same area, Taylor to Union, just for the start of the event. This year's format is more of a scavenger hunt. They won't be running through the hills, through obstacle courses like they have in the past. So it's primarily on our venues here, and there's a lot of clues about history tied to Virginia City that they have to answer. So it's kind of a unique format. I look forward to it. I think it'll be a good event for the town as a whole. And then finally, the V&T workshop is on Thursday at 2 o'clock in Carson City, and would love for anybody interested in putting their input in for the train. We're doing a SWOT analysis, if you will, that we're looking for input on what's working, what's not, opportunities and threats as we move forward with the new board. That's all I have.
Questions for Danny? No? Great. Thank you, Danny. Great job this weekend. All right. Story County's own lobbyist, Bum Hess.
Hello, and thank you, Bum Hess, for the record. Again, I'd like to reiterate Commissioner and Chairman McBride's words on what happened in Vegas, totally a cowardly act, and hopefully we'll all get through this together. But in turn, my comments today are mostly about Vegas. I'll be down there attending a lot of caucus meetings down there that the Democrats are putting on now. They'll be down there for about the next 2 to 3 weeks, and so I'll try to hit as many of those as I can. I don't know if they're actually calling them caucus meetings, but there's no doubt the Democrats will probably be in control again of both the houses this year in the legislature. And with Aaron Ford more than likely being our next attorney general, there will be new leadership in the Senate down there. So I'll be attending those, and they also coincide, as usual, with fundraisers that go on down there. So I'll keep you guys updated on the dates that I'll be down there and keep you updated on what they're going to plan to go after in the next session there. Other than that, that's about all I had. If you guys had any questions.
Bob, just maybe you could enlighten everybody, too, on Assemblyman Wheeler's elevated position as minority whip,
minority leader.
Well, he'll probably retain that, I would think, because I really don't think that he's going to – I think the Republicans will be in the minority on both ends.
I guess I was just observing that, you know, he was elevated to
– Oh, to the minority whip, correct, yes. And that will more than likely happen. I don't know if that's going to be a complete deal. I think we have to wait until the votes are in when we go through that. But it sounds like he will be the guy in charge there. The problem that happens in there is it's so segregated anymore that if you're in the minority, it's so tough to get things done. It does help with Wheeler being in there, but it's a tough chore. I see we have a celebrity, a good friend of mine, Joey Gilbert, and the star of the contender in the audience today. So it's always nice to see Joey. Didn't mean to embarrass you, but I know you would have done that to me, so. Anything else?
Any questions for Bob? No? Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay, you bet.
Our Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing today, thank
Project Manager, Mike Northam.
Bless you. Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam for the record. I have two quick updates for you. First one is on the Highlands Mailbox project. I consulted with Jay Carmona, the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association. We put together a preliminary scope of work from which I developed a preliminary set of drawings, graphically described the work. That drawing set and scope of work has been, I've started to send that out to various agencies for their review and comment. We're starting to get some good feedback back on that. As soon as we get a more comprehensive and fixed scope of work, we'll be able to use that drawing set to solicit bids and quotes for either portions of the work or the body of the work. And I expect that to be happening sometime next week.
Okay. Very good.
On the insurance side of things, I'm happy to report that the permit's been issued for the repair work on the bridges at Canyon Way. Work has already begun. I'll be out there doing progress inspections, taking photos of the work, and I will make those available in the Dropbox file if any of you want to have access to that file to check in on the status of the project. Yeah, you can see me, and I'll help you out with that. Belfour is starting to provide quotes for the various sites we have around the county. We've got to get moving on some of these things, so I'm building a comprehensive schedule around several schedule hard points. We have some windows in which we have to get the work done in a few of the sites. And that's where we're at there. I'll be letting everybody know as soon as I have an idea of when these things can start happening. And the last issue is just we're also experiencing a bit of difficulty getting contractors interested because there's so much work in Northern Nevada right now. So I continue to hunt for contractors, particularly on the courthouse roof project here. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Mike?
Yeah, I got one, Mike. See, I attended the dine at the dump luncheon. That was as usual, it's always a good crowd there. But I got cornered up on that bridge a couple times. They're asking why the county hasn't fixed that bridge. You know, they're all waiting for the county to fix that bridge. Well, I learned that bridge is a GID bridge.
That bridge, yeah.
Okay, so what's our role in helping them get this going?
I've offered any help I can be for them. Initially, it came across my desk because the insurance adjuster, Ted, assumed I was handling all of that. And so we reviewed the contract, and we had some amendments to it, which he got in, and then handed it off to the GID, and they've had it since then, and it's theirs to prosecute.
Okay.
And if I may, we've offered to Mitch and the GID team, you know, the full resources to the team, from Sherry to Joe to all those that are more experienced and more actively involved in the FEMA process, as well as the insurance process. We've told Mitch, if you need anything from us, we'll be there for you.
Okay, good.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Community Relations Director, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just to follow up a little bit on what Mike mentioned here, as far as working with FEMA, all of the FEMA funding is on hold currently. So getting reimbursed, getting our money, there is really no estimate on when that might happen. All of our stuff on the county level, we've closed out with FEMA, so we're just in the pipeline waiting till they release those funds. But, you know, we're competing with much larger disasters in Puerto Rico specifically, Florida, Texas. So it'll be a while, but we'll continue just to monitor, and the state's really good about keeping us informed on all of that. So we have our final county-sponsored flu clinic tomorrow morning. That'll be held at the Mark Twain Community Center from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend that if you've not had your flu shot yet and are looking to get one. The Senior Center will be having their annual lasagna cook-off fundraiser this Friday. I understand we may have a judge here in the audience. Tickets are $10 each for that, so if you're interested in attending, you can see Stacy at the Senior Center. She's not here today. She's actually cooking today. Wears many hats down there for us. So, Community Chest also has their annual Halloween concert slash costume party scheduled for October 27th at Piper's Opera House. Tickets for that are $30, and that always proves to be a very fun event and a fundraiser for the library. This afternoon, we are hosting the Quad County Healthcare Coalition meeting here at the Conference Center. This is a working group made up of Story Lion, Douglas, and Carson City that work to work together for specifically preparedness issues related to healthcare. So I'm sure we'll be discussing, you know, in length what has happened in Vegas and how, as a region here, we can be prepared. It's very ironic that the state has scheduled a few family reunification trainings coming up here. So that is something that is a huge component of what's going on in Las Vegas right now when you've got, you know, people coming from all over the world and nation for these big events. So it's just reunifying them with their families. So we'll be attending that training. I believe Joe and I have that coming up in November. So we're always staying as prepared as we can to hopefully never have to deal with such an event. But, you know, we are prepared and ready and do whatever we can. So.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. If my question, Sherry?
No.
Sherry, on the Circle de Serais Bridge,
mm-hmm.
That was insured by the pool, though, is it not?
I believe so, but I'm not sure on level of funding. I think there was perhaps some questions on that. So
there's some good news there anyway. Yeah. And insurance is actually, just for the record, too, our insurance adjusters and the insurance process has been remarkably cooperative. And
oh, absolutely. And for us, that was a huge win. I think we learned that from previous disasters to make sure that we can insure as much as we can. That makes it easier on everyone because we can't go to FEMA. If we have insurance for a particular thing, we can't go to FEMA and get money. We have to go through our insurance only. And then FEMA will reimburse us part of our deductible. We only have one deductible for all sites in the county, so it really wasn't worth our time to go through that because that adds a whole other layer of processes. So we were fairly fortunate. What we'll be getting back from FEMA is basically staff time and any contracted equipment that we used for removal of snow and debris. So I think it's in the area of $200,000 plus that we'll be looking to get reimbursed from them.
And undoubtedly, there will be a cost for that because we know from claims experience that next June when Mr. Carlson or someone comes from the pool, our prices will undoubtedly go up along with many, many others in the state for the damage.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Acting Public Works Director, Jason Wiersbecki.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jason Wiersbecki for the record. I have a couple things this morning. I have an update on the parking area for out in the Highlands off of Cartwright. Meeting with Jake Armona and John Smoker tomorrow afternoon to discuss possible size and usage of it. And I've also ordered a survey for the property that comes right up against that so we can get some actual lines to go off of.
Okay.
And one more thing. Our street signs order for the entire town that should be delivered at the end of the month so we can start installing them. With a historical brown with white high intensity lettering.
Terrific.
And then actual distinguishments between north and south.
Yeah, it's caused a lot of confusion, so it's a very good improvement. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
I have nothing. Great. Thank you, Jason.
Jason, I'm just throwing this out there. You know, the mailboxes, the parking situation there, it's it's kind of congested when everybody parks in the road there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically looking at a way to clean that up.
Yeah.
Another thing is, you know, in Reno you see the flashing signs with school zone or you know, slow down, whatever it is, 5 miles an hour when flashing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's ever been brought up or thought about. So.
No, not yet, but so I can do the research.
That would be another thing to maybe consider. Thank you.
Okay.
Over at the fire department, Chief Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Justice of the Peace, Harrington. Nothing today? Okay. We have our wastewater project coordinator, Mike Nevin.
To start off with, I'd like to say good morning. Been a while since I've been up here in front of you. Mr. Gallagher here sitting alongside me reminded me that he thinks I still have 45 minutes on the clock from when I left back in December, so I'll take advantage of that. Thank you. Anyway, I thought it important that I should provide you with at least a monthly project update as to what's going on with the Virginia City Wastewater Improvement Project that obviously has begun, and I'll give you a little recap of where we are from project start to date. But first off, I'd like to mention the fact that this really is a team effort. We have a great contractor that's been excellent to work with thus far, Ames Construction. I'm very pleased with the way that they have come together, working with not only the county, myself as your coordinator, but the citizens in general. I think we've had very, very few problems to date, which is a good thing. I'd like to mention also thank you to your community services director, my daughter, Sherry Nevin, for her efforts in getting the ceremony kicked off for the groundbreaking, and to the fire department for providing some equipment with a nice American flag that day. Of course, that was the anniversary of 911 attack, so it was pretty fitting. And also to those that attended, thank you. I'd also like to mention Jason W. and his crew. Been great to work with. Me and Jason have a real good, and always have had a real good working relationship with each other. He can call me, I can call him at any time. It's just been fantastic. Thanks, Jason. Thanks to your crew. Good job. Okay, getting into the nuts and bolts of the project to date. Of course, week one started on September 11th, and as I mentioned, that was the groundbreaking ceremony. That week primarily was devoted to Ames mobilizing equipment into Virginia City, materials being delivered for the project. I had meetings with a few of the property owners regarding utilization of vacant lots for temporary staging points along the route, had no opposition to those that I spoke with. There was a little bit of opposition from some, but we're going to bypass those folks that don't want to be involved or work with us. So we'll get through that. I also met with Mr. Scott Jolkover from Comstock Ventures and secured the site just north of the Camel Race Arena for construction and equipment staging and material staging. Scott was excellent to work with, and I appreciate his efforts to that end. The Public Works crew was busy for that week marking utilities in the lower section of Virginia City. The project starts at the low end and, of course, works uphill so we can maintain flows as we progress while we're working with existing sewer and tie-ins to the new line. The second week, the boots on the ground, so to speak, begun. We potholed a couple of different locations to expose some of the existing lines that run down Washington Street and the Flowery Street Row, we call it, that is kind of southwest of the landfill transfer station down there. This enabled us to establish those locations so that bypass lines could be installed. And on the Flowery Street line, we had to construct about a 650-foot new line that sits above ground down there so we don't have all that flow coming off the divide and basically all the south end of Virginia City, you know, interfering with the installation of new pipe and manholes along the Washington Street route. That was completed, as well as another temporary bypass for the upper section of Washington Street that now runs down I Street, which is on south of Washington. So there's another bypass. As the project moves daily, then those that are affected, we install a bypass into the new line in the trench for the evening. So there were very few inconveniences to residential homes in the area down below here. The project moves slowly. You know, the new line is 10 to 12 foot deep in spots as we're moving uphill. Several manholes are installed. And one of the things that we take into consideration highly is, of course, the safety of the workers and those that are working around the project. There are big trench boxes that they have to work in because the depths of that trench require it for OSHA reasons. So safety is, of course, you know, the utmost importance on any kind of a large project such as this. The archaeologists have been on site. There are two now. We have two crews working, one on the Washington Street line headed west, the other on what we call the Flowery Street Row extension. And basically, that'll pick up everything from R up to L and route it to a new line that'll run down the Flowery Street right away to the south and then tie in just across the top of the transfer station and back into the main line that runs down to the treatment plant. The first week, there were two manholes installed along with 188 feet of new sewer pipe. That was week two. The other thing, we held our first weekly progress meeting. We have these weekly on Thursdays, and thanks to Jesse and Pat for allowing us to use the BC Conference Center to conduct these meetings. They're just a construction progress update meeting, so important that those that are in the know find out what's going on, what has happened, and what anticipated to happen. Week three, which started on the 25th of September, we had a little conflict with the plans on the intersection of R and Mill Street. In order to get that main line running properly, we decided to make some modification to the existing drawings and run a diagonal line to a new manhole that sits above Russ and Pam Brandon's property down there where the main line traverses through that ground. That was approved, and so it required that Ames order a couple additional manholes. They have done that and haven't arrived yet, so we haven't started any work other than the saw cutting on Mill Street from R to L. So we held that off specifically, too, due to the street vibrations last weekend. We knew probably a lot of motorcycles utilized our route coming, you know, from Highway 50 back and forth. So we held off and will continue to hold off on beginning any work over in that area until the manholes arrive so we can move, you know, as expected, and we don't have any delays there. Ames has hired a third-party consultant that does all the compaction testing, and thus far I'm happy with what I see. The gentleman is there on the project daily. They're Black Eagle Consulting, and all of the compaction testing done to date has passed with flying colors. So kudos to Ames for doing it right there. Week three, we also made our first lateral tie-in to the new line. The Beaupre residence on Washington Street that has been there for many, many, many years was the first tie-in to the new line. So that was completed. At the end of that week, a tie-in above there, and I'm not sure who lives in the home currently, but 515 East Washington, that was also tied into the new line. So those are the two, and we're progressing up the hill now. I think the next tie-in will be Mr. Phillips' residence. He's in the audience here. So anyway, we're moving along. Week three, there were four manholes installed along with 617 feet of pipe. We also had to construct a little bypass route into the transfer station last Thursday, so we weren't interfering with their Thursday, Friday, Saturday operations, and then they had proper signage and coning, and it worked just fine. We have the route reopened now that people are well aware of, so because we moved further southwest of there, so we're out of their way. We had a little incident that occurred last Friday morning. We had a 2-inch PVC water line that runs on the north side of Washington, basically from N east, and then heads north on O Street, or not O, but P Street, and then goes down and ties Taylor and Q and P along Taylor up to O, so there's about 10 homes. The line fell and the trench and broke, but Ames got it shut off in short order and repaired pretty much immediately without incident. So just a little inconvenience, and there will be those that happen from time to time. That's to be expected. But so again, just a little update, the highlights. Ames, of course, has two crews working, one on the Washington Street line running from east side of town below the high school, west uphill. The other is the Flowery Street line that's got about 500 feet now tied in, and they're currently southwest of the transfer station, so we won't be affecting their operations. There have been seven manholes installed. All of the manholes have passed the vacuum sealing requirement, and over 1,000 feet of pipe installed as of yesterday afternoon. We had a little conflict yesterday afternoon with waste management on the Monday pickups. Pat got a hold of me immediately. I went back down to the project, and we got it worked out without incident. Ames had their workers just bring those trash cans that were affected on N Street up to M, and we made it happen, so everybody was happy. Anybody have any questions for me?
Yeah, I've got one, Mike.
Yesterday, in fact, I had a couple, I think I can't remember their address, but they were asking if that pipeline was coming through their driveway. And I don't know what the routing is, but is there a number that people can call?
They can call me. Yeah, my number is on the contact information that gets posted weekly on the social media sites. Okay. I've had one individual, Chris Wilkinson, who lives down at the mill just above R. She's like the second house on the right, but it's not going to affect their driveway. Yeah. But any driveways that they're, you know, that are affected, I see very few, you know, they're going to be repaired.
They were mostly concerned about their berry bushes.
Well, you know, sometimes you can't avoid that if stuff's on our right-of-way, you know. The other thing I will mention at this point, because I think this might be a good opportunity, as we progress, you know, west, keep in mind, there's some pretty large pieces of equipment down there on the project. I don't know if you've been down there, around there, big excavators, 330s, the 330 series excavators. They're large excavators. They're difficult to maneuver at times. You know, we've had conflicts with, of course, you know, power overhead, cable TV, and telephone. We've worked around it. But the other thing that I would like to mention, because I think maybe it's time that we find out who owns some of this stuff that's parked and or abandoned on some of these county roads and streets. A lot of it has been there, sitting on the roads and streets for a long, long time. And I'd hate to get, you know, within a couple of days of doing something in some of those locations, and now we got to stop and, you know, find out who owns it, you know, what we can do. Do we have to wait 72 hours? Do we have it towed? You know, hopefully we get the cooperation of everybody. You know, if you got vehicles especially, and I've seen a lot of them that sit on these county roads and streets, a lot of them been there for many years. So some of this stuff's going to have to be moved out of our way as we work uphill. So just to keep that in mind.
Within the sheriff.
You know, and I'm not going to cite, you know, instance where I know they are, but, you know, just drive around, you'll see them. Anyway,
I had one resident who complained and said, why do they have to start in my neighborhood? I said, well, you want them to start in your neighborhood or finish in your neighborhood? Because they're going to be in your neighborhood.
Pretty much, yeah.
Great. Any other questions for Mike?
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for your time.
Good. All right. Our director over at Community Development, Gary Haynes.
Good morning, everyone. And I thought Mike was joking about his 45 minutes, but apparently he wasn't. Thanks, Mike. I'll try to keep mine much more brief.
25 years, I thought you had it figured out.
I know. I was hoping. So I just wanted to provide you the first quarter notes, just some highlights of the weekly reports I've been submitting as well. So the first quarter, we've committed an internal SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. From that, we've been able to internally develop our own business plan. I believe that's gone out to the board members, to the county manager's office as well. One of the biggest things that we've done, both fiscally and technology-wise, is upgraded all of our computers so that we have offices in McCarran Complex now and Trick, and we can take our desktops, essentially. This is the dumb three-year-old version of it, but IT can explain it much more better, much more thoroughly. Our desktops go with us now to any workstation. So I don't necessarily have to be in an office in Virginia City. I can go to Trick, the McCarran building, and sign on and get access to DFS, which is where we do all of our plan reviews. So it was a huge step forward for us. So now our guys are much more efficient and effective. They can work anywhere in the county. IT's just finishing that up for us. They've done a good job with that, so I appreciate their help. We've been partnering with the ICC chapter of Northern Nevada for both fire code adoption and building code adoption in 2018. Generally accepted standards and best practices are every 6 years you adopt the code sets. So we're coming up on that number. We're currently working in 12. We'll be adopting the 18 obviously with the concurrence of yourselves, of the board. But we are working with both of those groups. We've been doing a lot of work on just updating workflows, policies, and procedures. Two of them that I'm really proud of we've been able to accomplish in the first quarter was we've written a commercial customer guideline for construction and a residential customer guideline for construction. And they're very large documents. So what we've done, and I'm stealing this from Sean, who's in the audience from Black Eagle, but they have these cards made. And if you look at these cards, they flip out and they're just basically a thumb drive. So what we're able to do now is we're able to put all of our zoning, our planning, everything into one document. When customers call for the process of pulling a permit, we just simply send this to them. And I'll hand this to the board here. You guys can pass it around. And I do want that one back because they're just under $5 a piece. So that's for you, Marshall. And that seems to be working out well. One thing, unless you're in that department, that you don't realize is the number of inquiries that you get per day and per week. We're sending those out about 3 or 4 times per week now to different customers all over the country. Anything from developing potential hotels to concrete companies. It spans everything. But that seems to be working out really well. Later on the agenda today, you'll see that we're trying to update our business license process. I'll speak to that if you'd like me to later at that agenda item. But primarily that's being done. We spent 3.5-4 days of everybody on staff's time to simply stuff envelopes for renewals of business licenses. We feel that time could probably be much more efficiently spent doing other areas, so we're proposing to automate that, and again, that's on the agenda for later today, and we're proposing to partner with Silver Flume, so it's an integrated, vertically integrated approach from the state down to local governments. We feel it would work out really well. The plan reviews and permits, subsequent permits, we're still holding to about 30 days. Internally right now, we're trying to keep that to about 14 days. If you were to submit today, we're about 9 days. So I think we're doing a fairly good job at that, considering that we have a vacant fire plans examiner right now. So our staff is also absorbing that as well right now. We've converted over, historically since 2009, we've done electronic plan reviews for all commercial projects. We've talked to local contractors before we did this, and they were on board with this, but we've now converted residential over to digital format through Nevada Blue as well. So all of our plan reviews, both residential and commercial, are being done through Nevada Blue. We're finding that that's really successful. It cuts down in time frames from time of submittal to permit issuance, probably by about 40 to 50%. So it's significant. And the contractors haven't killed me yet, so must be doing something right with that front. We've identified through our SWOT our goals and objectives, and that's in part incorporated into our business plan. We're just working on that list. And finally, the last thing of significance, I think, is we're approaching a deadline for TCO at Tesla for sections A, B, C, and F. We're very confident that that will be completely certificate of occupancy by December 31st. And that's huge. That's several million under roof. So very significant project that we've been dedicating a lot of time towards. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. That's just the first quarter and very high summary.
No, I don't have anything. Questions? Okay. Great. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
All right. Director of Planning and Human Resources, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. First, I'll just give you a Planning Commission update. On October 5 of this week, we'll have our next Planning Commission meeting. On that meeting, we're going to have a concrete batch plan out of Troy. We'll have a road abandonment here, or a portion of a street abandonment in Virginia City at O Street, and a variance for that same project. And then we'll have probably our last non-action workshop for the Title 16 subdivision, Title 17 zoning, and design standards manual update. And we do anticipate after this Thursday's workshop on that, that we'll go to Lockwood for the next meeting and let the folks down there have a chance to weigh in on those zoning and other updates that really pertain mostly to planned unit developments and subdivisions and large housing type of development. I think we're okay over there. Just an update on the Lands Act and what we're doing with our lobbyists in Washington, the Porter Group. We met on Friday once again. We've been pretty much meeting every 2 or 3 weeks on making little adjustments to the lands bill, the next round of clarification and trying to get some things straightened out. Porter and his group and Dan Maurer, they're taking that language and tightening it up. They're working with me on kind of how they want to approach that language in Congress and what kind of language works better than others. And then they certainly know the workings and wheels of Congress on, you know, what works and what doesn't and how they might take this bill and roll it into other bills and whether that bill is going to be in the spring or fall or whatever. We anticipate that it'll be 2018 early or late, that this thing will either, it will be heard by Congress and hopefully these needed amendments be approved. Down in Winnemucca, we attended the NACO conference, Nevada Association of Counties Local, and I had to leave and come back here, but Pat had an opportunity to meet with a presenter at that conference, and her name is Kathy Benedetto. I hope I said that right. She's the special assistant to the Secretary of Interior in Washington, and they had a chance to talk, and Pat and I talked about what to try to relay to this person is the cooperative effort that Story County, the BLM Carson City office, and more importantly, the BLM Nevada State office, and how we've been working for the last several years on trying to get a mutual mission to try to get this project done. The BLM recognizes Virginia City as not necessarily to be owned by the Bureau of Land Management or the federal government. They would like to see this clouded title straightened out because it's a burden on them, it's a burden on us, and most importantly, a burden on, you know, landowners here in Virginia City who have clouded title issues on their residences. So she indicated to Pat quite clearly that she would continue to work with the existing interim director, Marcy Todd, who had taken over John Roos's position. He's now in Washington here at the state level. And to try to keep that mission moving forward, to keep the ball moving forward, and to keep the state offices, hopefully, his ability to get resources like cadastral surveyors and, you know, another such resources aligned with getting this project not only done through the congressional movements, but also done through the actual transfer of land movement. And that's about it on that. I'm happy to answer any questions. And next.
I'm good.
Okay. Next, with Title 17 and all these things coming to a close, I thoroughly anticipate to crack back open the strategic plan for the county of the internal workings of our departments and working with the Planning Commission and the public as well as each of the department heads and ultimately up to the board and this group here on having a strategic plan ready for the county. And so that will be back going again. And then on the HR side and staffing, as Mr. Haynes had talked about, the reorganization and some improvements that are happening in community development. At this time, we are at the final stages of getting a fire marshal in place that is necessary. We have posted for a building inspector too, with an emphasis on electrical inspections that are needed. And we have posted and are ready to interview for fire prevention officer for replacement staff.
You're good.
Very good.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Austin. All right. Well, the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I'm going to make this brief because I don't want us to run into dinner. First quarter is done in books. We're going to anticipate for our next meeting in October. I'll present the first quarter findings by department. And I'm going to do something a little different than I've done in the past. I'm also going to present to you the possible augmentations for the first quarter. Last year was very, very difficult for me. I mean, it was the most difficult process I've been through since I've been here. And a lot of it had stemmed from a lot of things that happened in the second half of the year. But were necessarily added on by events that happened during the first part of the year. So I'm going to let you know where we are with all of this, why we think this should be augmented, and then obviously when we do this augmentation in May, you'll be completely apprised of all the stuff that's going on, and that and then you can make a decision whether to appropriate that money or not. But I think that's important. So with that, the second meeting will have not only the financial statements by department of what we're looking at, but also our recommendations on augmentations going forward.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. All right. Over at the District Attorney's Office, Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I just wanted to update you on the Sutro Springs roadway litigation in that the plaintiff in that case has now formally returned the ownership of that property to the previous owner. The attorney for the plaintiff is asking the county as well as the private individuals whether we would stipulate to a dismissal of the lawsuit. We would like to avoid a repeat of this process, and so we're considering whether or not we could stipulate the final judgment that, yes, this is a public road. If that's going to become difficult, I think we'll probably take another route. But that's the status of the litigation at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Willis. Right. County Manager, Pat Whitner.
So a handful of things today, Commissioners. A couple of strategic property, just pre-notifications. I'm working with Mr. Loomis in the District Attorney's Office to hopefully have these items on the September 17th agenda. October, excuse
there
me. Thank you. For many, many years, I think the county has had its eye on the small house that's immediately to the north of the courthouse. It'll be commonly referred to as the Piper House. It's currently in private ownership. It was built in 1876, so it's 141 years old. Marshall, Chairman McBride, and I have had the opportunity to tour it on separate occasions, and it is a beautiful house. We had it appraised, and we just got the appraisal in on Saturday. I communicated the appraised price to the current owner. She seems happy with the fact. So the county will be, or the staff will be asking the commission to approve purchase as it has been anticipated now that we have a price. We're already talking with a couple of work groups that are either cramped into quarters or strategically if we can remove them from properties and move them up to the Piper House. That might give us some cost savings down the road. So stay tuned on that one. But we'll be back on October 17th, I hope. Another one with a little sadder story is the little training center to the south of the fire station. I don't know the exact history on that. I want to say it was about 1937, I think, somewhere in that era. We came to learn over the last several months that it's got some very serious environmental issues in the basement. And by very serious, I mean very expensive to mitigate. So I'm currently working right now verbally with Burke Badeau with the Historic District, Comstock Historic District, on what our options would be. It's not usable anymore, period. And it probably is functionally obsolete anyway, no matter how you look at it. So what the proposal will be to the commission, based on Mr. Loomis's assistance, would be that you authorize staff to work with or work with the Comstock Historic District Commission on a three-phased solution for the training center. Phase one, preference number one would be sell it. It's a little more complicated than that, and then we're going to have to lift it off of the foundation and then sell it, so it's personal property. I don't want to pay more for an appraisal than I don't. The building's not worth much, if anything. But I don't really want to pay more for an appraisal, you know, than we're probably going to get from a sale. So that's option one, and that movement or that potential path would be somebody buys it, hopefully. I do have one expression of passing interest. But somebody buys it, and it's relocated on the Comstock since it is of moderate historical significance. Option two would be, again, to do the same thing, lift it off its foundation, because all the problems are in the basement. So we're talking about severing the ground floor from the basement where the problems are. We would then have it sold where somebody could move it off outside the Comstock Historic District and at least preserve its historical significance. And option three comes, I think, particularly with a lot of longtime people that have been around here, you know, Gary Hames and others who may have dispatched from there once upon a time, and many of the old-timers in town, I think, have gone to doctors in this building. A lot of us have trained in there over the years. It's been our emergency operations center for many, many years. But the final option would be to demolish it. I'll be coming to you hopefully again on October 17th asking for permission to proceed. Neither of these two, I correct myself. Piper's would be a binding approval to move forward and buy the home and the property, including the parking that's down below, which is strategically important for us. And then the training center would be just you're authorizing me to proceed. But not authorizing me to sell or demolish it, I don't believe. We'll get to that. So those are the two property updates. I've got some great news on this one. While we were in NACO in Winnemucca, I was approached by Michael Weinhard. Michael is a regional representative for Senator Heller, based out of Reno. Michael desires to hold... to have open hours, office hours in Virginia City twice a month, the first and the third Tuesdays of each month. So starting today at 1 o'clock, Michael will be in the Slammer welcoming folks. So we certainly welcome the Senator's outreach and Michael's outreach, and it'll be pretty exciting. So we'll keep getting the word out through folks like Karen and our social media sites that he'll be here. And then Austin mentioned the Porter Group and their update on lands bills. That same update also included updates on two other items of interest to the county. One's the Remote Transactions Parity and Marketplace Fairness Acts. Those are congressional bills under consideration. And then, of course, our very own zip code dilemma. So I'm just going to read to you what Dan Porter sent me. And I want to remind everybody who knows about the zip code issue, the Remote Transactions Parity Act and Marketplace Fairness Act really are integral also to sales tax collections. These would be both out-of-state purchases and, most importantly, Internet purchases. So the Remote Transactions Parity Act, the House version of the legislation, allows states to collect sales tax on out-of-state purchases, now has 40 co-sponsors, 21 Republicans and 19 Democrats. Congressman Amade has signed on to the bill in June. This is a controversial bill and has not received a hearing or a markup at the committee level. The Senate version of the bill, the Marketplace Fairness Act, has 27 sponsors, yet neither Nevada senator has signed on. We are working to secure their support on the bill. A hearing was held on the Marketplace Fairness Act in the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee in May, but there has been no further action since then. So that's that one. That one hasn't had a big spotlight on it, but it does have benefits. And it really, some people say, well, it's a new tax. It's really not. We're supposed to voluntarily report and submit tax on these transactions now through the Department of Taxation, and this just shores up that and makes it an equal playing field for those with brick and mortar established in the state. Zip codes, the Postal Services Reform Act, which is the vehicle for our new zip code, is still moving through the legislative process at a painfully slow pace. In the last few months, we have had Congressman Hannity talk with the House Majority Leader about his strong desire to see the bill come to the floor and have been pressuring the Oversight and Government Reform Committee to use their influence to get the Ways and Means Committee and Energy and Commerce Committee to act on their portions of the bill. Unfortunately, we always get the same answer. Those committees are almost singularly focused on health care reform, tax reform, and other legislation that is a priority for President Trump and Speaker Paul Ryan. In working with Congressman Amade's office, once we exhaust all efforts to move the postal reform bill in a timely way, our other option will be to strip the zip code sections out of the larger bill and move that by itself. This is not a preferred way to do things, but if it presents us with an opportunity to finally get our zip code issue taken care of, we certainly will pursue it. We do realize how important this issue is. This is Porter's group talking now. We do realize how important this issue is to Story County, and we want to reiterate the fact that this is a very high priority for us, and I can attest to that. I do know that when we did get a consideration of the bill passed out of committee before, Stephanie from Congressman Amade's office said she has never seen anybody so dedicated and focused on a single issue as Dan Maurer with John's office is and continues to be on the zip code issue. So long story short, I think our federal partners, our consultants and lobbyists there are really doing everything they can to nudge the needle in what is a very, got to be a very interesting environment to be in Congress right now. That's my report.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Up next is County Clerk Vanessa Stevens. Nothing today?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Very good. That'll conclude the public comment on committee. No public, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I neglected to notice that we had, I think, three other people sitting out there that are probably anxiously waiting for something that's not going to happen. So if I could suggest to you that on our agenda, we pull items 16 and 17. This is a journey to convene as the Brothel Licensing Board in hearing a work card denial of appeal of an individual by the name of Sarah Cohen. I'm told by our sheriff that that matter has been resolved through communication, so there's no need to hear it.
Okay.
And I apologize for missing. I think you'll need to.
Okay. Can I get a motion to go ahead? Any public comment on this item? Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to go ahead and pull items 16 and 17 from today's agenda.
I'll make a motion to pull items 16 and 17 from today's agenda.
You probably should second.
I'll second it. I move the second to approve this. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Let me follow up, Mr. Chairman, as I have a pecuniary interest. That would be involved in item 16 and 17. I am hereby recusing myself from vote or discussion on these.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you.
All right, moving along now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And I'll start down to my far left there with Commissioner Gilman.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had the opportunity to meet with Ed Cutworth down in the Lockwood community yesterday. And we spent some time visiting with some of the infrastructure that's has a lot of necessary rework that needs to come on board, primarily on Prairie Ranch Road. And we looked at some flood control issues. We looked at some drainage issues, plug drainage and thereabouts. And we have one major portion of the roadway that is washing out significantly on both the north and the south side. So I would ask that I could make arrangements to meet with staff down there and with Edna in the next few days so we could identify the work project and see if we can't get that underway early before we have more winter damage.
Good idea, because winter's right around the corner, so we feel it in the air this morning.
It's necessary.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Commissioner McGuffey.
Yeah, a couple things. Of course, as everyone knows, we spent last week at Winnemucca for the NACO convention.
as one of our highlights was the mine tour, the Turquoise Ridge Mine. It's an underground mine. It was very interesting to see how that operation works. Very safety minded. I mean, you can't get in the place without invitation, pretty much. And you have to take a training class before you can go through the tour. You get to see the actual operations firsthand, the drilling and the bucking, the whole shot. One of the things that impressed me right off the bat was when we were driving in, we were bussed in, is the roads. The dirt roads are like highways, and there are signs stating that they use the mag chloride. And I'm expecting a call this afternoon from the guy that's in charge of that, just to kind of ask him questions and get a feel for where, how they do it, how much it costs, and what's the benefits, what's the downturn of it. So that call, I'll hopefully learn something today or tomorrow for sure. The classes at NACO were well staffed. They had some great speakers there. We covered topics like how to deal with mental illness, working with DAs.
Did you put that in the same sentence?
Yeah, really. And then the pros and cons of the new marijuana laws and the issues related to marijuana. So there were some interesting courses there that we attended. That's it for me.
Very great. Thanks, Jack. I have a couple of things to follow up on the Las Vegas incident. Those who want to donate can donate to it. They set up a GoFundMe account down there to help victims. And then, of course, you can make an appointment at United Blood Services here locally, Reno or Carson City. There's another bank somewhere around here, and you can donate blood, too, because they need huge amounts of blood for all the surgeries that are taking place down there. Winding back to last week's NACO conference, this is the first time I've been a commissioner for my fifth year now. This is the first time at a Nevada NACO conference that the national president from National NACO, Roy Brooks, was in attendance, and he spent the whole conference there with us, and it's remarkable. I mean, to have someone from the national stage show up was really impressive. And he's a minister. He's a real slow, well-spoken individual from Torrance County, Texas. Along with the NACO conference there, which is it's very well attended, and all 17 counties were represented there this year, which was pretty remarkable. Those of us that were in attendance, congratulations go out to Sherry Nevin, who's our director of community relations. She received her certificate. A public official certificate from the University of Nevada, and as did Vice Chairman Jack McGuffey. He received his, and
as with the Chairman, he received his.
I did. But where the hat goes off to is for Vice Chairman McGuffey, as he completed his in 2.5 years. Which I don't think is probably a world record, but it is in Story County, I think. Because it took me 4.5 years, and Jack actually passed the finish line a couple months before me, I think, just out of spite. But anyway, congratulations to everybody. We have a lot of certified public officials who work in Story County. A lot of staff have received it here over the years. So it's we didn't get a pay raise with it, but it is a nice thing. Pool Pack and NACO, they actually give us $500 each because they anticipate that by being better educated, by attending these workshops and going through their training, is that the county is less likely to be involved in litigation by missteps by its officials. So they give us a little bonus for going through this. So. I think that's all I have. We'll go ahead and move on now to item number 8. This is discussion and possible action. We're going to approve the Fire Prevention Week proclamation of October the 8th through the 14th, 2017. So, Chief Nevin.
Is this what your firemen were waiting for? Okay, you have a call? Yeah, okay.
Thank you for the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a little summary on this. October 8th through the 14th, 2017, has been designated as Fire Prevention Week throughout the entire nation. We're requesting that this board show their support by issuing this proclamation that I'll read after this. We urge all people of Story County to find and develop a home fire escape plan with all members of the household and practice it twice a year, and to participate in the many public safety activities and efforts of Story County's Fire Emergency Services during the Fire Prevention Week 2017. I'll read the proclamation here. Story County, Nevada, Fire Prevention Week Proclamation. Whereas Story County is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting Story County, and whereas U.S. fire departments responded to 365,500 home fires in 2015, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and whereas U.S. home fires resulted in 2,560 civilian deaths in 2015, representing the majority, 78%, of all U.S. fire deaths, and whereas newer homes are built with lightweight materials that burn faster than older home constructions, and whereas many of today's products and furnishings produce toxic gas and smoke when burned, making it impossible to see and breathe within moments, and whereas these conditions contribute to a much smaller window of time for people to escape a home fire safely, with people having as little as 1 to 2 minutes to escape from the time they sound the smoke alarm sounds, and whereas a home fire escape plan provides the skill set and know-how to quickly and safely escape a home fire situation, and whereas a home fire escape plan includes two exits from every room in the home, a path to the outside from each exit, smoke alarms in all required locations, and a meeting place outside where everyone in the home will meet upon exiting, and whereas home fire escape plans should be developed by all members of the household, and whereas practicing a home fire escape plan twice a year ensures that everyone in the household knows what to do in a real fire situation, whereas Story County's responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education, and whereas Story County residents are responsive to public education measures and are able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes, and whereas the 2017 Fire Prevention Week theme, Every Second Counts, Plan Two Ways Out, effectively serves to educate the public about the vital importance of developing a home fire escape plan with all members of the household and practicing it twice a year. Therefore, the Story County Board of Commissioners do hereby proclaim October 8th through the 14th, 2017, as Fire Prevention Week throughout this community. We urge all people of Story County to help to find and develop a home fire escape plan with all members of the household and practice it twice a year, and to participate in the many public safety activities and efforts of Story County's Fire and Emergency Services during Fire Prevention Week 2017. Dated this third day of October 2017 by the Story County Board of Commissioners.
Right. Thanks, Chief. So this is an annual proclamation that we do. Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this proclamation for Fire Protection Week? Any other comments from anyone else? Your staff? No? With that said, if I can get a motion to approve this proclamation.
I'll make a motion to proclaim October 8th through the 14th of 2017 as Fire Prevention Week throughout Story County.
Second your motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve this proclamation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you, Chief. Moving along now to item number 9. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of interlocal agreement for access to Nevada's business portal, known as the Silver Flume, between Nevada Secretary of State's office and Story County. Gary, are you going to handle this?
I think so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Honorable Board members. What we're requesting is just access to partner with State of Nevada through the Silver Flume business licensing portal. This last year, it really came to light. We have probably a little over 60% of our business licensing is done out of county, and it's primarily done in TRIC. It's the contractors, the architects, engineers, and what we found this last year when we went to issue renewals was it was right around 3.5, almost 4 days of literally stuffing envelopes manually for renewal processes. I went to IT after July 1st and said, how do we fix this? How do we automate this program? So we had looked at initially at integrating a program into our website. Unfortunately, I'm not sure how he stumbled into it, but he stumbled into the Silver Flume website, started dialogue with them. They came back. This is a no-cost opportunity for us to automate this process. And it'll vertically automate into the system, too, so that if I'm a new company and I come in to the state of Nevada and I want to do business, I can get my state of Nevada business license, tell them where I'm going to be doing work, and it'll automatically route them into Story County's business license portal. So that's a nice thing. After this first year, and we get all of our business licensing converted over, if you are to approve this, everything will be done electronically. If people don't want to do this electronically, they can still traditionally come to our office. We'll sit down with them. We'll do it through a paper system. We'll input it for them. So it's not going to change the way that a lot of the local small businesses are doing things today, but it will automate it for us internally. We're hopeful that once AS400 changes with DevNet, that it will fully integrate now between Silver Flume into DevNet. It will not do that as of today with the AS400 system, but we know that that's going away. So once we get DevNet, it will fully integrate and it will be completely automated. I'm not sure how far you want me to go into this. I guess I'll just open it up for questions, really.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll start out with the questioning. Is it okay? It says that it's a no fee. Is it just for the first year or going forward?
No, this is for the full term of the contract.
Okay, because correct me, because I'm probably wrong, but when Ross Miller was the Secretary of State, he implemented this, and we shied away from it because we were looking at a huge amount of expense for the county to be involved in this.
That's correct.
I can address that if you want.
Sure. It's,
you know, that has definitely, that message was received loud and clear, I think, by particularly the Quad County Coalition through Mary and Steve Walker. That was the fatal flaw for us, as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman. I would also say that has been fixed. I also want to add, if I may, you know, sometimes people question, I'm just going to say it like it is, how come Gary's still around? This is a definite example of change is good. I'm not saying anything about how we did it before, but I'm saying this program has been out there free of charge probably for at least 3 years under Secretary of State Miller and now under Secretary of State Sagaski. This really was a turf issue, quite frankly. One person wanted to hold on to business licensing. It was just as simple as that, and I'm telling it like it is. That's no longer an issue, and Gary seized this opportunity and said, why the heck wouldn't we do this if it saves 3.5 days of staff time and makes it easier on our customers? So I'm proud of you.
And you're absolutely right, Mr. Chairman. I think the price tag 7 years ago was right around $60,000 if we wanted to be on the ground floor of developing everything. But now that everything's been developed, the state's come out and said, this is silly, why are we doing this? So about 4 years ago, they came back and said, we've already funded this. So if people want to partner with us, they can partner with us at no cost. And there's throughout the state, there's in excess of 25, maybe even 30 local governments that have jumped on board.
Wasn't there a question, too, of whether the revenue is going to be routed through the state treasury first?
Initially, there was, that they didn't have the systems fully processed, and now that's not the case. It'll actually process directly into our system.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many business licenses we've processed in the last 9 months, but look like we're doing 20 or 30 every meeting that we hold. So it's becoming, I'm sure, very impactful there.
It is. And I actually did that number, and I can't remember for the last 12 months either.
It's staggering. Yeah.
All the new ones. Of course, they're not all going to be renewals because some of these guys come in and do their job and they're gone, right?
Right.
Okay. You have questions on this, Jack?
No.
No?
Sounds like a good thing.
Okay. How about public comment? Mr. Miller.
How do we
Mr. Miller?
I need you to come up to the podium, please. Identify yourself for the record so we can get you on tape. Thank you.
You got to come up and hang out with me, buddy. How are you?
Good. John Miller from Rainbow Bend. In our area, we have people doing work with shabby contractors that are not licensed in Story County. How do we get a list of the people that are licensed through Story County? Because some people are getting ripped off. I hate to see this. They're getting people coming in for a real low cost, but they're not licensed. And being a businessman for 41 years, licensing is good. So I just like to know how we would get information on who's a licensed plumbers, electricians, carpenters, roofers, whatever the case may be in Story County, so I can relate to the people who they are.
Sure. John, if I may, we can certainly provide you that information. The problem we have with that information is if you look at today's agenda, there's a ton of contractors that are on there that will never be in anybody's home, and we can't segregate those out. My suggestion is anytime there's a name out there, call 847-0966. You know, talk to the five folks at Community Development and just say, is John Q, fixer licensed? It's that simple, because we not only require that they have a license to work in our county, we require that they have a state of Nevada contractor's license as well, and we'll check that to the system. So be happy to give you a list, but I swear it's going to be that many pages.
Yeah, there's what we don't need. I mean, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, stuff like that. It's basically home needs.
Yeah, and those are, I don't know that we can segregate those out very easily. We'll give it a try, but it's not, like RHP Mechanical, they do HVAC. They're going to appear as if they look to try. And I didn't know this, but I'm putting an air conditioning unit in from Costco, and RHP is there. Vendor. So now we've got a guy that we might normally assume is try only because they're a big company doing big work. They're doing a one-off job for me, and they are licensed. I make sure of that.
Okay. But I just wondered if there was a possibility of getting that so I can go back to our HOA to supply them, the ARBs, on who's doing the work out there.
Go ahead.
Mr. Miller, what I can tell you is that the State of Nevada Contractors Board has a website which has a list of all the licensed contractors on there that you can access fairly easily.
Are they categorized? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Plumbers and stuff like that.
You can look them up by name.
Yeah. And I'll take a stab as well, John. I'll look at Gary's list and at least highlight the ones that jump right out at you. Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Great also, John, call us, too. Don't ever hesitate to call us. It takes us literally 30 seconds to look it up, and I'd rather look it up for you 100 times than have one bad contractor out there.
Yes. Any other public comment?
I guess under...
Okay.
It's real easy to look up and state Nevada business license. And do it continually.
Okay. Thank you. All right. With that said, I get a motion to approve this.
I'll move to approve the interlocal agreement between Nevada Secretary of State's office and Story County to access Nevada's business portal known as Silver Flume.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the interlocal agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right. Coming up next is going to be item number 10. And with this item, I have a pecuniary interest in this. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to recuse myself from this, and I'm going to abstain from voting. I just want to make one clarification in here that this is for the purchase of the parking lot that's next door to us. In fact, this board approved this last year without me voting on it. I abstained on that also. This payment was not made to the Bucket of Blood, though. It was actually made to the title company in Carson City. It was Tycor. So in any event, I'm going to turn it over to the vice chairman, and he can go ahead and handle this item, and I'll take my seat with the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So back on July 18th of this year, we had on the consent agenda approval of payments. One of the payments was for the payment of $200,000 towards the purchase of the parking lot lots behind us here.
That was pursuant to a contract entered into between the Bucket of Blood and Story County. That contract was reviewed by the Ethics Commission in advance of entering into that contract. And the Ethics Commission said, if you'll do these steps, we approve the proposed contract. And so the steps were to get it appraised by an independent appraiser, which we did go about and do, and she appraised the value of those lots at $200,000. The county then entered into a contract, absent Marshall McBride's vote, to pay for the lots. And so this is actually a legal obligation of the county once we approve the contract to make this $200,000 payment. But it was on a consent agenda. It was missed that it was one of the things on a consent agenda, and Chairman McBride participated in that. So what we are asking the board to do today is to, number one, rescind the authorization to make that payment, and then ask the remaining board members to go ahead and approve the authorization for that payment. So it's kind of a housekeeping matter.
So you want to rescind the previous payment?
Yes.
So is there going to be any monetary transactions here? Because it was already paid correctly.
Well, it's been paid, and we're going to rescind that. And if you approve it, it's going to be based upon the vote of the two remaining members that do not have a pecuniary interest. And basically, it'll remain in place.
Okay.
I think Deputy DA or Chief Deputy DA Loomis said it very well. This is really housekeeping.
Yeah.
It slipped past us.
Okay.
And the reason, again, usually we don't have to worry about this one anymore, but the issue really was, or the causal factor on this was, it was to Ticor. It did not have a name that jumped out at us.
Yeah. Okay.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Any questions?
I have no questions. No, it's a housekeeping issue. I think we just
I'll
need
open
to move
this
on,
public comment. Amen. Ask a question or anything? No? Okay, well then I'll ask for a motion.
It's actually two.
Okay, we have two motions. Okay. And one and two.
I'm sorry.
I'm ready for a motion. We have two motions.
I see them.
Okay.
I, Lance Gelman, County Commissioner, move to rescind that part of the motion by which the consent agenda of July 18, 2017 was approved, pursuant to which the payment of $200,000 to the Bucket of Blood for the purchase of the lots next to the county courthouse was approved. Additionally, I, Lance Gelman, County Commissioner, further move.
Do we need to do one at a time?
Can we just vote on that motion first and then?
Sure.
Sure. So, all those in favor?
Yeah,
is there a second?
I'll second it.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now the second motion.
Second phase, I, Lance Gelman, County Commissioner, further move that the payment of $200,000 to the Bucket of Blood for the purchase of the courthouse lots be approved.
Okay. I'll second that motion. All in favor? Do we need to call for public comment on that?
Yeah.
Yes. You can call for public comment.
Okay, I'll call in public for a comment. Okay.
Made the motion.
You made the motion. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey. We'll move on now to item number 11. Consideration and possible action regarding an interlocal agreement between the Story County Fire Protection District and Story County, placing the responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended with the Story County Department of Community Development. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is an Some time ago, the board granted the authority to conduct commercial inspections to the Story County Fire Protection District. As you know, we've been trying to consolidate all the inspection work in the Community Services Department. And so we have the authority under the Interlocal Contract or Cooperation Act to create an interlocal contract by which the Community Services Department can fulfill the function that has been assigned to the Story County Fire Protection District. So that's essentially what this contract does. It moves the authority for doing the commercial inspections from the Story County Fire Protection District to Community Services Department, and it's a two-year contract. It renews annually automatically unless the county decides or the Fire Protection District decides that they want to end it. If the contract is ended, then the obligation to provide the protection or inspection services would move back to the Fire Protection District.
I guess the only question that I would have, when we say that we're moving it over, if in the event that community development didn't have staff available, can the Fire Protection District still conduct the inspections?
Well, you could cancel the contract at that point, then the authority to conduct those inspections would come back to the Fire Protection District.
Okay.
And if sometimes we confuse things, and I'm not sure because I was not following this, but I'm told we may have in unintentionally uttered the phrase community services rather than community development somewhere in there. So I want to be very clear that we're not tasking Sherry's group with this. We're tasking Gary's group with this community development.
That's correct.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions?
No.
Any public comment regarding this item? Ms. Park?
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. Just to be clear, they're moving this function from the fire department to community development, correct? The fire department outsourced it to a third party, correct? As part of this contract, the third party goes to community development as well.
Wait. I'm not clear on what you mean. The fire department outsourced it to a third party. What are you referring to?
It's in the DUDA on Q Global.
We entered into a contract with the Fire Protection District. Entered into a contract with On Q Global to provide a fire inspection officer
on a temporary basis.
Temporary basis, and that contract also provided that the fire district would allow this person to operate under the authority of the Community Development Department. So he's already moved over there pursuant to that contract.
And the contract with On Q Global will terminate once we have a fire marshal hired that was referenced during staff comment.
Okay.
So that's a temporary matter, is what I'm saying.
Okay. So On Q goes away once a fire marshal is hired in community development or in the fire department?
In community development.
Okay. So that happens there. On Q Global goes away. Right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. And on the agenda request form, it says there's no financial impact. If the function is moving from the district to community development, I heard an $800,000 number kicked about. Is there any transfer of budget that also goes along with that? I mean, yes. I would never assume a function as a manager that didn't also have money with it. So
yes is the answer to that. The comptroller, Chief Nevin, and Community Development Director Haynes and I are working on transfers that have historically occurred between the county's general fund and the district's operating fund. So there will be a shifting, but there is no net cost gain. In fact, there was actually some cost savings, quite frankly, on a couple of positions, such as the fire marshal.
And will we have visibility into that as part of augmentation, or is that a separate agenda item that will come up to have transparency on the moving? of the money.
There'll be public notice of those. I'm not sure if augmentation is the right way, but we'll account for it publicly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I might add that to the extent that the fire district has been compensated for providing those services, that compensation is going to move from the fire district to the county.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Any other public comment? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve this interlocal agreement.
I move to approve the interlocal agreement between Story County Fire Protection District and Story County, placing the responsibility for administering and enforcing the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended with Story County Department of Community Development and authorities the chairman to sign, and authorizes the chairman to sign. Excuse me.
Very good.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved to second to approve this interlocal agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. So the next item up is going to be item number 11, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action regarding the interlocal agreement between the Story County Fire Protection District and Story County, placing the responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code is amended with the Story County Department of Community Development. Now, if that sounds like I just read that a minute ago, it is, because we're going to go ahead and go through the same motion right now as we did before, this time as the fire board.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, I think you referenced item 11. We're now on item 13. They are identical, but this is item 13 on the
right.
Agenda.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, this is the flip side of the agreement that you just approved on behalf of the county. Because the Fire Protection District and the county are separate political entities, it has to be approved by both of the entities, and this is for the Fire Board's consideration.
Thank you. And once again, we'll open it up for public comment. And hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion for approval.
I make a motion to approve the first reading, an on-sale liquor and cabaret.
No.
The one before that.
One before that. We're going to go back.
Uh-oh. You got it marked as 15.
13.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the last motion is the interlocal agreement.
It's the same thing. We're going to approve it as the fire board now. The first round we're approving it as the county commission. Now we're going to approve it as the fire board.
Oh, the same motion?
Same motion.
Oh, okay. I'm lost on that one. I move to approve the interlocal agreement between the Story County Fire Department, Fire Protection District, and the Story County, placing the responsibility for administering and enforcing the 2012 edition of the Interlocal Fire Code as amended with the Story County Department of Community Development, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. We're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection District, and we're going to convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Next up is going to be item 15. This is the first reading for on-sale liquor and cabaret license. The applicant, Michelle Haley, owner of Virginia City Cigar and Bar, and located at 69 C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 14440. The nice thing about the new signs that Jason W. is having printed, it'll designate now that it'll be 69 North C Street, so we can get designation on what is north and south in Virginia City. Sheriff.
As indicated on the agenda, it is first reading. Nothing has been found in the background that would preclude her from having a license. She was given a temporary and opened up, was in operation during street vibrations, appeared to do a pretty good job. So I would recommend approval.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this licensing?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Whitten.
I happened to visit this establishment Friday afternoon, and it is amazing what they have done with this property. It is beautiful inside. Some on our team who visited it Friday apparently went back and visited again on Saturday. But it's a great asset, and I think a great addition to particularly the north end of town, where we've got the brewery and the Red Dog, and it's nice to see some life and vitality there as well.
That's great. I know that they've been working on this place for several years now.
It shows.
Very good. Any other public comment? Okay. Full disclosure, I also am a liquor licensee in proximity to this establishment. My voting on this would not affect this establishment any more than anyone else in the main business district that also holds a liquor license.
Mr. Chairman, I echo your comments as I also hold a liquor license on C Street, but that will not preclude me from voting on this issue.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. So can I get a motion to approve this?
I'll make a motion to approve the first reading, an on-sale liquor and cabaret license for Virginia City Cigar and Bar located at 69 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second to approve the on-sale liquor and cabaret license for the cigar bar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All four. 4-0. Thank you, Sheriff. Okay, since 16 and 17 have passed, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Liquor License Board, and we're going to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up will be item number 19, discussion of possible action. These are business license second readings. Is there any public comment regarding the business license second readings today? Hearing none. Pat, do you want to read the...
I don't know. A community development director is here today. Maybe he'd like to... guess not. I will take them. Keep in mind that we amended the agenda to reflect the proper names as listed in your packet. Community Development is recommending approval of items A through Q, those specifically being American Chiller Service, Applied Staffing Solutions, EverWorks, Forever Christmas, InCycle Automation, Integrity Staffing Solutions, Madole Construction, Nevada Sealing Pump, NPSG Construction, Sanchez Ranch Meat Company, Sierra Nevada Telecom Services, Silver State Personnel, Supplier Link Services, the Whiting Turner Contracting Company, Vallejo North America, that's a Tesla operation, by the way, Vertical Iron Works, and Control Installation Specialists, all to be approved A through Q.
Yeah. Light list, only 18.
Yeah, it got off easy this week. Yeah.
And I can pronounce them all, I think.
There you go. Okay. I get a motion to approve the business license second reading.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through Q.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? You need a second?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been moving a second to approve business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the grand finale, item number 20, this is public comment. Ms. Miller. Mrs. Miller.
Well, I have a question for you gentlemen today. We live in the River District and we have a creek running right through our complex. Either you call it Largo Marcino or Long Valley Creek. I want to know who's responsible to dredge that creek after this massive flood we had that dumped many, many feet of silt in that creek. I know the GID doesn't own it. Who is responsible for dredging that creek and getting that out of there before we start this winter?
I'll pass it on to you.
I knew you were looking at me. That's probably a great question that honestly right now I don't want to give just and off the top of my head. I want to research a little bit with our legal team. I want to talk to our acting public works director about our capabilities. That I don't believe is considered a navigable waterway, so I think we're outside the auspices of the Army Corps of Engineers. But we will take a look, Mrs. Miller, and we'll get back to you.
Because it's really serious going into the Truckee River. It's almost dammed up. to it has to be several feet deep before the water can even get there.
I will ask right here at the meeting to have our acting public works director take a look at it and assess while we go through some of the paperwork processes to make sure we're legal.
Just so we have the answer before the end of November.
We should be able to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller. Yes, this lady right here.
That is Louise.
That's Louise.
That's Louise.
I'll know that in a minute when she identifies herself at the podium.
I'm Louise Pena. I live at 334 Avenue de la Couleurs in Rainbow Bend. And I've been a resident there for 24 years, so I've seen a lot of change. Most of it actually has been good. However, in 2000, when I was on the board in Rainbow Bend, and early 2000, we cleaned up our riverbank. Volunteers came in, not a problem. We had volunteers. We did a section every year. Now, and since I've been off the board, we have had the runaround about cleaning up our river. The HOA has given me all kinds of crap, and I'm sorry for the word, but I in the past have checked with the Corps of Engineers, the Paiute Indians. I know that Washoe County allows for their river to be cleaned up so that we, in fact, get to see our view that I bought into. Currently, the weeds on the river are way high. Even from inside my house, I cannot see my riverbank. I finally have pushed the board to the point where I want to see it in writing, where the Corps of Engineers refuse. In the early 2000s, I was told, and have been several different times, that as long as we cut down the bushes and haul it out, not let it go run down the river, we can clean up the riverbank. The key behind that is to clean it up, leave the roots there so that it helps protect our riverbank. At the last HOA meeting, I was informed that I had to check with Story County now, which is a new one, by the way, to have your approval for us to come in and clean up our riverbank. We are not asking for your financial help. We are not asking for anything but your blessing for the homeowners within Rainbow Bend to go there and clean up our riverbank. I have checked with Waste Management. There is a possibility, like in the past, to get dumpsters put on the riverbank the morning of, and they'll haul it out that night so that all we get is the trash and the cuttings from the riverbank. I would love to see your blessing to do this so that the HOA cannot, again, tell us that it shouldn't be done. With this, the Corps of Engineers have always told me that if we haul it out, we can actually create, it's a blessing. Because when the river's high, and like it was last year, what happens is the water washes it out anyway. Except it goes to Derby Dam, and then it backs it up. So we're actually doing the county, the state, us homeowners, a service to get volunteers to clean up our riverbank. But again, the HOA wants me to get your blessing to do this. So I don't know what it takes. I don't know where you'll have a constant argument over whose responsibility of the river it is. I live on my river. I don't mind taking the responsibility of cleaning up. And along with the brush, I will tell you the flood left a lot of garbage along that bank. There are several of us that would like to clean up from the bridge.
Why don't you pause for about 30 seconds?
Oh, yes.
We'll let this wind up and then calm down.
I just got homesick. Anyway, so that is where I'm working with. Waste Management said it would have to be a November thing so that we could get the free dumpsters. And I, of course, push a neighbor, good neighbor policy. So I'm waiting for that. I would also request that next year, whoever the powers be, do something about the dandelions and the weeds in Perry Ranch Park, Louise Perry Park, that's it. Because the last 2 years, the dandelions have been horrible. And, of course, the wind blows. Along with that, I'd like to thank, I believe, the fire department for initiating, or the rumor goes that they're helping clean up the area between Perry Ranch Road and the homes in Rainbow Bend. That area where the garden is at is overgrown with weeds, and it's a fire hazard. Some of it has gotten cleaned up. I would like to see the rest cleaned up. I believe this part is owned by the county, that little section there. But again, I would like you to check into seeing that being done. Also have a request that I know that Sherry Nevin's been working on it, but we are having the open house at the Senior Center. I have been going to the meetings of the Senior Center, and we do need to have a few little things done before the open house. The ugly cones that set in the middle of the two doors, or the doorway between the two rooms, is a little concerning. The floor needs to be fixed so that it's not a hazard to our seniors. I think, other than that, the only thing I would like to do is, it's been a long time since I've been up here and watched this. I am amazed on how much Story County has grown just in the jobs you have to do. I thank Lance Gilman and TRI for the growth he has done for the county. I am not jealous of you, Lance. I wish I was you, but I'm not jealous that you are getting rich off this, as the rumors go. But I do know that in 2000, and when the government could not keep the Roth open, Story County was in dire need financially. And I do know that Washoe County wanted to come in and suck up Rainbow Bend and the River District. If it was not for Lance Gilman, TRI, and this county commissioner's doing an awesome job, I would be paying one hell of a lot of taxes in Washoe County for a property that's not worth the powder to blow it to hell. So thank you. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Louise.
Who wants the river?
I'm going to go ahead and address this, probably against the advice of my legal counsel. I believe sometimes it's most prudent to ask for forgiveness if we need to, rather than permission. We could turf this thing around. Clearly, the river itself is under the auspices of the Army Corps of Engineers. It's considered navigable. And I might add to Louise's comments that we're not only doing all those groups that she said a favor, we're doing the Army Corps of Engineers a huge favor in doing this. And I applaud Louise. I've known her forever, it seems. We need more people like you. I wish Sherry was here, because when we consider Citizens of the Year, I'm going to nominate you, because this is one of those, we got a problem, we're willing to fix it, help us. I would suggest you turn it over to staff to work with Louise and whatever group that we're going to, you know, basically handle, and we just take the simple path on this and take it from there.
Very good. Okay. Great. Thanks, Pat. Okay. Continuing on with public comment. Ms. Barton.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. I watched on video the recent Reno City Council meeting where they heard the issue on the effluent pipeline, and they voted on it to approve the agreement with the redlining that they did. One of the questions that the council asked of the representatives that were there was,
you know, along the lines of if the funding doesn't come through, basically do our taxpayers in Reno have to foot the bill if for some reason the contract or the agreement for the funding of the pipeline itself and the TRIGID were to fall through. They wanted to protect their taxpayers from that once entering into the agreement. There was some back and forth there. And one comment that struck me, just because it did, was there was a specific question to, and the switch gentleman answered it, which was odd to me. But the question was, if the TRIGID is needing $30 million or whatever the amount is in order for them to retrofit their facility to handle the effluent, and that money fails to show up, who's on the hook for that funding? And the answer from the switch gentleman was, well, since the TRIGID is a governmental organization and they're part of, you know, Story County, then the county is on the hook for the $30 million if that money does not materialize for the TRIGID. They weren't talking about the pipeline and that bond. They were talking about the money for the GID. So my question to you is that true? If the money for the GID were not to materialize that they need in order to retrofit themselves, is Story County the backstop for that money and the agreement that the TRIGID will be signing with the Reno City Council?
Well, I didn't see the video that you're referring to.
I can send it to you.
Okay. But the question was, they were suggesting that the $30 million of improvements at the industrial park, if it never took place, if Story County would have to pay for those improvements?
Right. There's a loan that Roger apparently is funding the TRIGID improvement. The TRIG is part of the effluent agreement, both for the pipeline and the bond that the taxpayers are going to have to pay, and the $30 million for the TRIG. There's an agreement.
I got you. The DA wants to weigh in on this. So
okay.
Let's
this is public comment. It's not.
It's a question.
It's not time for discussion. I saw the same program that you did. I'd be happy to answer it privately.
Okay, then I look forward
and
to
my
the
only answer. Comment is limited to, assuming this was Adam Kramer from Switch. Mr. Kramer does not speak for Story County in any way, shape, or form. We have not finalized any agreements. And the matter is still being researched, even from a fiscal standpoint. So.
Okay, I have a second question. If the TRI, and it's a legal question, if the TRIGID is a governmental entity, is it subject to open meeting law?
Yes.
Therefore, they would have to post when they have their meetings of the board, and they would have to publicly post minutes of agendas and minutes of those meetings?
They have to post an agenda. They have to follow the agenda in an open meeting process. They have to prepare minutes. And I don't know if they have to post the minutes, but they have to be available.
So available for inspection by the public?
Yes.
So full transparency?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to talk to you after the meeting on the other question. Thank you.
When you send the Reno link, would you send it to me?
Oh,
as well?
Absolutely.
Thank
okay.
you. Thanks.
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager. I wanted to take this opportunity to publicly thank Jason W., the public and public works guys. We had several waterline breaks, as you probably know, over the past month or so, and our crews were out there, but I can say our contractor and our construction manager said that Jason was out on site working long hours. And he really was helpful to our crew and was an integral part of us being able to get it done so fast and coordinating and doing the traffic control. So, Jason, thank you, sir, for your efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Any more public comment? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.